everyone, this is your host Keith, and welcome to another Scary Retro Radio Podcast. Join me and the Retrobots,
David, Tom,
and Jill,
and the Retro Torture Chamber for the Internet's best-kept secret source of your favorite old-time radio. It's a place where new tech meets old tech and likes it. Visit us today at retro-otr.com. While you're there, leave us an email, comment on any of the shows. We'd love to hear from our listeners. And thanks for telling a friend about us. Hey everyone, this is Keith, and it's time once again for another spooky Halloween show. Today is going to be, the one from the...
The Mysterious Traveler. No, we already did that one.
We did that one. Okay. How about Exploring Tomorrow?
Sure, that would be a good one.
All right.
The First Man on the Moon.
You have the date on that one?
By the way, it's really more science fiction than a scary show.
Sure.
The date is November 22nd, 1948.
Okay. All right. The Exploring Tomorrow is... This episode, I think it gives credit to a different... actor who is like the astronaut in the main character role, who to me it sounds like it's Bill Goodwin from the announcer from the Burns and Allen show, but I'm pretty sure they give credit to somebody else. But it's just, that's when they bring it up. And this story is he goes to the moon. It's like the big space race between the Russians and the Americans. And lo and behold, he gets partway there, and the Russians have taken over the moon. And now, what does he do? There's some politically correctness things where they're trying to call him back, and he's like, you know, oh no, I'm gonna go and land on the moon, and which of course he does. And then there's some other things happen, you know, Iron Curtain stuff, where you know, Russians against Americans and all like that. And of course, you know, it's the main character, American, that makes all the right decisions while everybody is all bent out of shape about what's politically correct, and you can't do that because... So basically what it is it's a story about doing the right thing no matter what, you know, our social structures tell us is the right thing. So, at least that's what it means to me. But I'll let you enjoy the story. I won't give you too many more details. Now, it's time for a word about the webpage.
Blah, blah, blah.
On the webpage, I've gotten a letter from Craig. Thank you very much. I don't have time to read the whole conversation that we had through email. But in a nutshell, there was some very important things on the actual webpage itself that was a little bit squirrely, a little bit kinky. And so I managed to, I actually took down I had a social networking tool built in, which I have to say, no one's really been using it, and I don't really know how to take full advantage of it. And I think it was part of the problem. And so he went bye-bye. And then my page died. It crashed. There were errors. And so I had to re-upload some things, and it works okay. One thing you'll notice is my quote, my random quote is temporarily gone. I'll try to bring that back as soon as I can. If no one else likes it, I do. I like seeing the random quotes on there, but anyhow, that's one casualty of war that happened there. But the benefit is I had been told before by somebody that, you know, how do I find your main RSS? And I thought, oh, well, it's right there at the very top of the page. And what Craig had pointed out to me was it was covered up by something. And I think it was covered up by part of that, you know, networking tool. And that's why it went away. And so, hopefully, the link for the main RSS is there. If it's not, of course, somebody please let me know, and I'll work on fixing that or moving it to a different location so it's easier to see. But I think it should be okay now. And I also took the opportunity to update my About page, so there's more stuff filled in there. I still may work on a little bit to add in there. I had some trouble, as Craig pointed out, with my contact form in the sidebar, and so he got moved to his own, very own page. So now there's a link in that link bar near the top that says contact, and that's how you can click on that and send me a email. There's still some things on my FAQ page I'm working on, trying to get to the bottom of what's happening with it. I think I know, and I'll just have to get in there and play with it. And what was the other thing? There might have been something else, but I can't think of right now. Don't be afraid to email me and let me know there's a problem, because sometimes I get busy with other stuff. I just forget. But I do try to make the effort to, you know, write up good show notes for people, and I try to tag the podcast. If you're on the homepage, I try to make heavy use of the tags, so that I try to find common elements in each show. I usually will put a tag for the year for the artist, like, you know, from George Burns or S.C. Allen. I'll try to, or the show name, like, you know, Gunsmoke or Lone Ranger or something like that. And I'll try to maybe grab some of the key players if I know who they are, like, you know, Dennis Day or Phil Harris or Matt Dillon or Tonto or whoever. And I also try to get some of the keywords that's in my write-up and keywords of what maybe some of the behind-the-scenes words are, like if it's a show where they're talking about friendship or some social issue like politics or government or something. I try to put some tags in there so that you know, it kind of ties a common bind to it there. And if you don't know what I'm talking about still, let me just maybe just clarify. Let's say there's a show, and there's a tag on there that's about marriage, let's say, because maybe it's an episode of you know, what's the, My Favorite Husband or something, or so you click it, and then you get a result search page, and you'll have any of my shows that I've tagged with the word marriage, and you may find shows that relate to Burns and Allen, My Friend Irma. Maybe it's a Jack Benny show that talked about marriage. It may be something along that line, and that's the purpose of the tags. For example, if you see the tags for the date, you know, 1937, you get all the shows that I have tagged for 1937, and of course this is all done by me, and there, I can't think of all the tags. So there could be some gaps on that, but it should get a little pool of resources going on, and so occasionally they're probably tagged as misspelled, which is another thing I plan on going through and cleaning up on. One of these days, there'll be a project to do. Okay, so you can see I've been doing a few things out there on the webpage. I know what one thing was that was brought up really fast is that I'm not sure exactly what was meant by it, but somebody pointed out that in this sidebar, over on the right hand side, the right hand sidebar, that's where a lot of the navigation takes place. I mean, there's that link bar across the top where you can pick different, you know, pages I have that are there, like, you know, the contact or about or FAQ. over on the right side is how you can find all the podcast articles. There's, I guess, three basic ways you can search for them. You can, I put my Google search on there because long ago, my original search box, it just didn't work. I don't know why, but I managed to drop in a Google box so you'll actually get Google results that are targeted for my page or for my domain. There's actually another page or two you'll find on there, but that's the first way. The second way is there's two what's called combo boxes, selection boxes, where you pull down the box and there's like a list of items in there. The first one is categorized what I call channels, and there's all my channels. You'll have channels in there for detective and westerns and comedies and dramas. I try to subcategorize those. So under comedies, you'll find a bunch of stuff. This is my largest thing I put out there. You'll find things split apart for Sibber, Mickey, and Miley, Jack Benny, and there's Lim and Abner. Under music, for example, there's a subcategory in there for Command Performance, for Jubilee. I think for Spike Jones is in there, which I've found some more that I can publish. So if you haven't already found some new Spike Jones episodes, watch for those. They put out there on Sunday nights or Sundays sometimes. And the third way you can navigate there on that sidebar is another combo box, which I think it's called Archives, and you can navigate by date. Basically, you get a month and a year, and you can see all the shows that I posted during the month of June or July or August or whatever. And that's the three basic ways. But anyway, I just wanted to go and kind of step through that because I've tried to make the page as easy as possible to navigate. It's all about the podcast. I don't, have a lot of extraneous, Google ads that people put on their page. I don't have a lot of extra stuff that distracts from the podcast, although I try to add extra features, like maybe I'll try to improve my trivia quiz again, or if I get around to it. So I think I've prattled on far enough about what's happening with the webpage.
I think that's a hint, Keith.
Oh, stop. Here we go. Enjoy this show.
Now for our featured presentation.
The program you are about to hear is fiction, science fiction. We make no guarantees, however, how long it will remain fiction.
Exploring tomorrow.
To these adventures of the mind, the editor of Astounding Science Fiction magazine, John Campbell, Jr.
The scene is a missile testing base somewhere in the continental United States. The time? 2:30 on a Tuesday afternoon, 5, maybe 10 years from now. A rather unusual missile is getting worked over. Blast off is 10 minutes away, and the countdown is in its last stages. And a man is sitting inside this missile, waiting. The United States is about to make its first attempt to send a manned rocket to the moon.
Mr. Blastoff, Captain. Still feel loose and easy?
Like a bird, Colonel. Waiting to be cut loose and sore. How do you feel?
Me, Captain. I'm just sitting here in the observation tower. You're the one in the launching pad. You're the man going to the moon.
And you're the one who has to face all the reporters after blastoff. Me, I'm glad I'll be up there alone. How much time left, Colonel?
6 minutes, 20 seconds. Let's run through the schedule one last time.
Okay. I sit in this cradle and I wait for the rocket to toss me up into space. I get 500 seconds of 4G acceleration, Then I sit around and look out the viewport for the next 4 days while the ship coasts in 0G free fall. At roughly 4:15 on Sunday afternoon, the autopilot is going to turn the rocket engines on again, long enough to land me in the Oceanus Procellarum, which better be as dry as a Palomar boy say it is. I climb into my little Jim Dandy spacesuit, wander around the moon for a while, take some snapshots, pick up a couple of rocks as souvenirs. And 15 hours after landing, I get back into my ship and I come home. Did I leave anything out?
Not a thing, Captain. 3 minutes, 10 seconds.
Well, all I do is sit here and wait anyway. Computer down below in the belly of the ship does all the work. Me, Mike Wellman, first man on the moon. Maybe, anyway.
What do you mean, maybe? The ship's been tested thoroughly. There's no possibility of...
A blow-up? No, go ahead. Don't be afraid to say it. I wasn't talking about that. The odds are pretty good that this bird is going to get me there. Only thing I'm wondering about is whether someone else is going to get there ahead of me. I'd hate to find a big vodka party going on when I get there.
90 seconds. They're clearing the launching pad, Captain. We better break contact now. Good luck. The next time I hear from you, it's going to be from space.
Sure, Colonel. I'll report as soon as I'm in free fall. Then radio messages every 4 hours. You won't forget about those baseball scores, will you?
Scores. 30 seconds, Captain. And all America is rooting for you.
And I'm rooting for the Dodgers. So long, Colonel. See you next week when I get back.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, mark.
Base, how do I come in?
Clear and sharp, Captain.
Oh, glad to hear it. Okay, ship time, 1,452 hours. Blast off went fine from this end. I got through acceleration good enough. 4Gs isn't much fun, but I don't mind it in 8 minute stretches. The ship's in free fall now, no gravity at all. And it's weird, all right. Even after all those hours in the training chamber, I still feel a little strange. Very quiet up here. Nice. Man really can think here. The view is really something. Where do you see the photos?
How about the psychological reaction? You don't feel cut off?
Me? A guy whose idea of heaven is being alone with some books? Colonel, I like it up here. The psych test said I was an introvert, didn't they?
Well, not really. Just sort of solitary-minded.
Same thing. Well, it's us solitary-minded people who are going to be your spacemen, Colonel. We don't mind the loneliness. Listen, Colonel... How are the cosmic ray readings coming through?
Perfect. All the equipment seems to be functioning.
Including the pilot. Or rather, the live cargo, because that's all I really am. Okay, Colonel. I got a few odd jobs to do on board. I'll be talking to you again in 4 hours. Over. Here I am again, Colonel. 2 days out, still no sweat. I'm getting used to this no-gravity business. And I...
Go on with the rest of the report, Captain. There's been a change in the operational plan.
Huh? What kind of change?
You aren't landing on the moon. Pentagon orders are for you to adjust the computer to alternate course B. Circle the moon and return to Earth without landing.
Hey, wait a minute, sir. How come the switch?
Well, it's an awkward situation, Captain. You see, between the time I last spoke to you and now, the Russians... I know this will come as kind of a shock to you. The Russians made a successful landing on the moon.
No!
Radio Moscow announced it 2 hours ago. And since then, we've picked up broadcasts from the Russian ship. They've landed, all right.
They beat us to it. By 2 stinking days, 2 days earlier, and I would have been the first.
You haven't heard the worst part of it yet. The Russians have claimed the moon.
They what?
Like Columbus claiming the Western Hemisphere. We're putting up a yell, of course, but there just isn't any precedent for this kind of thing. The UN is meeting to decide whether they have any right to.
So this is why I can't land, huh?
The Russians say they'll regard any lunar landing as trespassing on their property. We can't risk an incident, of course. So for the time being, we're going to hold back and wait till the legal aspect of this business is worked out.
So I can't land. They send me up here and I ride around for a week.
awake and don't even put my foot down on the moon. Uh-uh, Colonel. Russia doesn't own the moon, no matter what they say.
Gentlemen.
I'm sorry, Colonel. I'm more than halfway there, and I'm darned if I'm going to miss my chance. I'm going to land, sir.
Wilman, listen to me. You can't disobey orders.
Yes, I can, sir. I'm landing. Over and out.
It's not that the moon wasn't meant for man. It's just that man was never designed for the moon. It's a fantastically inhospitable place. Harsh, blinding sunlight with no atmosphere to dim it. Jagged shadows. The rocks are hard, sharp-edged. There has been no weathering to soften them, and the shadows are just as hard and black. It's not a nice place to be alone. Or even when there's only one other human being within 200,000 miles.
I don't know if you want to hear from me again, Colonel, but I'm beaming this anyway. Look, I just wanted to let you know that I've landed on the moon as originally scheduled. Yeah, right on the nose, in the designated landing area. Northern branch of the Oceanus Procellarum. And you can tell the Palomar fellas that they were right all along. Maybe this was an ocean once, but not in the last million years or so. As for the Russian ship, it isn't any hoax. I saw it when I came down. It's about 50 miles north of here. Maybe later I'll break out the rocket sled and wander over there for some vodka. The Russians are trying to contact me now. I better shift channel, see what they want. Over, Colonel. Come on in, Ivan.
Da, нет, товарищ, ничего.
I'm afraid that uses up my Russian vocabulary, Ivan. How's your English?
I am Captain Dmitry Novikov, Solid Space Forces. You are illegally trespassing on our property, American.
I am, huh? Say, your English is pretty good, but your politics isn't. You say the moon is yours, huh? Lunar Soviet Socialist Republic? I'm sorry to disagree. Just getting here first doesn't give you the right to claim the whole place, you know.
The matter has been considered by our legal experts. We have established prior claim. I am under orders to request you to leave Russian territory immediately.
But this is cockeyed, claiming the whole moon. Now, look here, Dmitry.
You will address me as Captain Novikov.
Okay. Now, look here, Novikov. The moon's a big place. There's room for a lot of us up here. It really isn't fair to want to hog the whole thing yourself.
The Presidium said Soviet policy, not space pilots. I'm instructed to warn you that you are trespassing. I do not wish to debate the matter with you.
So I'm trespassing then. What are you going to do about it?
My ship is armed.
And you can't figure out any better way of celebrating the conquest of space than starting a war about it?
The United States ordered you not to make a landing. They recognize our claim. We cannot tolerate violation of our rights.
And you're going to be nasty about it, I see, huh? Well, I'll take my chances. Now I've got some work to do before I go back. I'll be leaving the moon in 14 hours and a bit. Hey, now how long are you staying up here? You've been here better than 2 days already. You planning to hold the fort forever?
My plans for departure should not concern you.
Well, I'm just curious, that's all. Okay, Dmitry. Maybe I'll be talking to you again soon. And yeah, you sneaky son of a gun, congratulations. You did get here first. Over. Come in, launching bay. You hear me?
We're getting you, Wilman. We read you.
Look, I just had a little chat with the Ruski. There seems to be only one of them. He gave me some malarkey about firing on me if I don't clear off the moon right away.
Wilman, you insubordinate idiot. You're liable to touch off a war over this moon trip.
Well, what was I supposed to do? Smile politely and turn back just because they got here first? You think they have any right to claim the moon?
Of course not. That's not the point. You were ordered not to risk trouble by landing.
Yeah, and I landed anyway. Well, go ahead. Chop my head off when I get back to Earth. Meanwhile, I'm here, and if that Russian doesn't blow me up, I expect to do a little exploring in the next 14 hours.
I don't think the Russian is going to blow you up. He's got his own troubles.
What do you mean?
We have decoded some of the messages he's been sending back to Moscow. Seems he made a faulty landing and has to make some repairs on his ship. It may take him a week or two, and he doesn't have enough food. Russia may be crowing about claiming the moon, but it's going to look bad for them if their spaceman can't get back. Starves to death.
would be rough. Maybe I better call him back and see if I can help him out.
Well, then leave him alone. He's a Russian.
He's a human being. And so am I. Get off the wire and let me call him, Colonel.
I order you not to make any overtures to that Russian.
Look, I'm not on Earth now. There doesn't need to be a Cold War up here, too, Colonel. And I have plenty of food to spare. Give the folks back home my love. I'm going to call Ivan again.
You know, it's one thing to make a claim to say, this is mine. It's something else to hold on to it and make the claim stick. Somewhat like the colonel. It was a little difficult for him to enforce the orders he was trying to give to the man on the moon.
Novikov, you getting me?
You have 3 hours to leave Russian territory. Then I must command action.
Now, look, don't give me that stuff. I know your ship's disabled and you're in trouble.
This is untrue. My ship is in good condition.
Dan Trotsky was Rasputin's brother. You know, Novikov, I sometimes feel I'm the only sane man in a world of lunatics. Those idiots down there in Washington didn't want me to land because it might make Moscow sore. And you don't want any help from me because I'm not a good Marxist. It's a losing battle, Dmitri. Everyone seems to know what he really wants, and yet everybody tries hard to get the opposite.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay. You just sit tight. I'm going to launch the rocket sled and get over your way with a couple of cartons of provisions. If you won't take food from a lackey of Wall Street, that's your business. I'm coming over anyway.
Boy, it's good to get that helmet off.
Hello, Novikov. My name's Mike Wellman.
Why have you done this? What trick are you playing?
Listen, friend, all I'm doing is bringing some of my spare food. Nothing up my sleeve at all.
I do not understand that. Up my sleeve?
It's a decadent capitalist idiom. Means I'm not trying to fool you. The supplies are out on the rocket sled. Get into your suit and let's bag them in.
I said I would fire on you. And you bring me food?
Yeah, silly, isn't it? But they told me they picked up your messages to Moscow. That you were going to be stuck here a few weeks for repairs.
I was not telling the truth.
Hmm?
This ship will never take off again. The rear rocket tubes are hopelessly crumpled. The fuel field lines are severed. It was a very poor landing. I gave incorrect data to the computers.
And you told them you could fix it?
They do not like to receive news of failure. Leave me alone, American. Take your food and go away.
Hey, what are you going to eat, rocks? There won't be a rescue ship up here for a month, at least.
There will be no rescue ship for me. I do not deserve rescue.
You just sit up here and starve to death?
I made the faulty landing. I cannot return to my country now.
Then I disobeyed orders. I wasn't supposed to land because the moon is red property now. But the only Russian here is stranded, helpless.
Do not mock me.
I'm not. That's a fine bunch of spacemen you and me are. You smash up your ship and I disobey half my orders. But I'm glad I disobeyed anyway. At least there'll be one practical result of my trip. I'll be saving a man's life.
You?
Sure. You're coming back with me to Earth. We can jettison some of the meters and stuff and make room for you. I bet you don't weigh more than 150. We can manage.
Sure.
But save the butts for later. And if you try to argue me out of it, I'll slug you. I'm on my way home. Pretty fair blast off, and we're 20,000 miles out from the moon now. Oh, I left a little of the equipment behind. The next ship can pick it up. And I've got a passenger.
You mean that Russian?
Yeah. Seems the ship was wrecked, so I talked him into coming back with me. He's down back in the galley fixing lunch now. I guess we'll both be called traitors for saying it, but we've sort of become friends. And he doesn't think Russia ought to claim the moon either.
Well, we have one distinction anyway. Maybe a Russian ship was the first to get to the moon, but an American one that made the first successful round trip.
I like to think of it in a different way. Not an American ship or a Russian ship. Stuff like that shouldn't matter anymore. Call it a ship from Earth. Yeah. Novikov and I started out separately, but we're coming back together. The first expedition from Earth to Moon is coming home.
Presented by the Retro Radio Podcast, retro-otr.com.
Now scram, dear. Get out of here. I got lots of work to do.
All righty. Goodbye.